For my mammal species project, I chose the Fusa. The Fusa are a species of cat-like Euplerids that are native to the island of Madagascar. While one of the island's Euplerid species did receive the scientific name Fusa fusana, that species is actually not the Fusa, that's the Malagasy civet. Instead, the Fusa were kind of done dirty and they were named Cryptoprocta ferox, which translates to hidden anus in its Latin roots, and it was named in Latin for its anal pouch, which surrounds its anus with scent-producing glands. The Fusa typically weigh around 5 to 10 kilograms and are pretty cat-like in appearance. Fusa are part of the Euplerid family, which is a group of carnivores endemic to Madagascar. Despite not being closely related to cats, Fusa have independently evolved many cat-like traits that extend beyond their outward appearance. Fusa have extremely well-developed carnassials that reflect their niche as Madagascar's apex predator. And in fact, Fusa are the only known species to eat every species of lemur on the island. While lemurs are their primary source of prey, Fusa also eat birds, rodents, and invertebrates. Other cat-like adaptations that help enable the Fusa's hypercarnivorous diet include retractable claws and specialized tongue papillae, which help them to kind of shear the meat apart. Fusa are almost obligately found in forests, but they are somewhat adaptable to different types of forest. They can live anywhere between sea level to above 8,500 feet in elevation, and they can be found in both rainforests and dry forests. Fusa are adapted to both scansorial and cursorial locomotion. Fusa are pretty arboreal, so they spend most of their time in trees where they can hunt for lemurs, but they also have really big ranges, so they need to be able to run fairly long distances. Fusa have a couple adaptations that help them be more adept in trees. They have specialized pads on the bottom of their feet, which help them grip the bark. And they are also able to rotate their ankles about, which is kind of similar to what squirrels do, which help them down climb. Something that I found really interesting while researching their Fusa was their reproductive habits. Fusa are usually pretty solitary animals, but that pretty much goes out the window when mating season happens. Females will start by taking residency up in a tree. A female will mark the tree using a bunch of her scent glands, and then males will start to visit that tree. When a male climbs up a tree to approach her, the female can kind of choose if she's interested in a male by climbing out to these distal branches on the tree. And if she's not interested in the male, she can kind of shake them, and it makes it hard for the male to reach her. If she is receptive to the male will start doing courtship behaviors, which includes kind of rubbing up against the female and biting her neck. And then Fusa also make quite a bit of noise during courtship. It can be pretty noisy. So I have an audio clip of what it sounds like when they're mating. After courtship, intermission will often last upwards of an hour at a time. While a female is mating with one male, other males will often approach her on the tree, and she'll have to either fight or fend off other suitors while she's mating. Fusa have very long penises that have backwards-facing spines on their glands. These spines help induce something called copulatory ties, which basically just means they're stuck until they finish. And this helps males improve their likelihood of fertilization during what can really only be described as extremely precarious mating environments. A female will usually stay in a tree for about 1 to 2 days, during which time she'll mate with several males, often five to seven males. After mating with a female, males will usually go off to find another female in another tree. And it isn't unusual at all for males to mate with a couple of females during a mating season, but males typically mate with significantly fewer partners than females do. Because of this, Fusa are a lot of times usually considered polyandrous, They're not strictly polyandrous because both males and females do typically mate with more than one partner during a mating season, but mating is definitely more more controlled by females than it is by males, so it's considered more polyandrous than promiscuous. Another thing that I found really interesting while I was researching the FUSA is that juvenile females undergo a process called transient masculinization. Basically, females leave their mothers, or sorry, before females leave their mothers, but before they are sexually mature, they undergo this process where they start to look a lot like adult males or like sexually mature males. During this time, the female's clitoris will get enlarged and it grows spines that just look like the spines that males have on their glands. Adult males also have glands on their chest that produce orange secretions. And then during transient masculinization, juvenile females will have the same glands that produce the same orange secretions. There's a couple of theories as to why this trait may have evolved. The first theory is that that there are a lot of sexually aggressive males who harass juvenile females, and so it's advantageous to not be recognized as a female before they're sexually mature. And then the second theory is that other adult females are very aggressive to females because females can be very territorial. And so not being recognized as another female might help juveniles avoid encounters with adult females. FUSA are currently listed as vulnerable on the IUCN Red List as of 2016. The main reasons for their listing are habitat loss, hunting and retaliatory killing, and introduction of exotic carnivores, especially dogs and cats, which are both invasive on Madagascar. FUSA are an understudied species, and prior to their listing in 2016, they had been listed as insufficiently known. Cat abundance has been shown to have a strong negative correlation on FUSA abundance, and feral cats occupy a very similar niche to FUSA, so they exert a lot of competitive pressure on them. Both species are hypercarnivorous nocturnal predators who are adept at climbing. Cats are also attributed to the spread of toxoplasmosis and feline calicivirus into the FUSA population. Dogs don't compete quite as directly with FUSA as cats, but they have also been found to have a negative association with FUSA abundance. Dogs primarily hunt on the ground and during the day, which doesn't directly compete with the FUSA's niche as much as cats do, but the FUSA have been found to change their habits in areas with high amounts of dog presence. While FUSA are primarily nocturnal, they are flexible and they can hunt during the day if they need to. But in areas where there are a lot of dogs, FUSA become exclusively nocturnal, which pushes them into even more direct competition with cats and then also with the native Malagasy civet, which is also nocturnal. FUSA are hunted for a couple of reasons. Despite being culturally taboo, the consumption of FUSA meat is prevalent across much of the Madagascar human population. Additionally, parts of the FUSA body are sometimes used in local traditional medicine. While there are several protected forest areas in Madagascar, there is not really a lot of ability for them to actually enforce protections, and hunting FUSA is actually more, just as, or maybe even more common inside the park as it is in areas outside of the parks. Furthermore, you know, illegal hunting has become a lot more of an issue since there was a coup d'etat in Madagascar in 2009. In addition to being hunted for bushmeat and medicine, FUSA are also prone to retaliatory killings for eating livestock and poultry. In some cases, there have been groups of people who even hunt FUSA with the intent of eradicating them from a certain area. FUSA have very large ranges and low population densities, which makes them difficult to monitor, and it also makes them very vulnerable to habitat fragmentation. Surprisingly, degraded forests have not been observed to have a significant impact on the abundance of FUSA in an area, which might reflect that they are pretty adaptable to different forest habitats to begin with. But regardless if the forest is completely destroyed in an area, they're still quite vulnerable to that, as no surveys have recorded any Fusa sightings in areas farther than 5 kilometers from a contiguous forest. Deforestation rates have been very high in Madagascar for a pretty long time, but they got a lot higher after the coup d'etat occurred in 2009. Deforestation happens for a couple reasons, mostly for quartz mining and rosewood logging. These high rates of deforestation are a major concern for Fusa populations because most of the parks that are in the island that are protected are not large enough to hold significant populations of Fusa. Kind of a general rule of thumb for a lot of species that is used. If we don't know enough to come up with a more precise minimum benchmark for how many individuals in a population we need to be sustainable, a lot of times we'll say 500. And according to one study, there's only 2 protected areas in Madagascar that are predicted to be large enough to hold a population of at least 500 Fusa. And they said that was likely an overestimate. So this makes increasing the size of refuges and creating protected throughways between the protected areas pretty important goals for conservation of the species. The main conservation strategies that are in place for Fusa are a captive breeding program and established protected wildlife areas that are in Madagascar. While captive breeding has been mostly successful, they don't actually reintroduce the captively bred Fusa back into the population. So it's a way of preventing extinction, but for now, actually using it to support the wild populations is still just a goal. And unfortunately, as far as it goes for the protected wildlife areas in Madagascar, there's little enforcement and management. Another proposed conservation strategy for the Fusa has been to enact sterilization of domestic dogs and cats and then culling of the wild roaming dogs and cats. It's possible that this would be an effective strategy, but there's not very little research done on it, so we'd need to do more research to figure out if it was practical and if it was cost-effective. Regardless of any management strategies that are in place, it needs to be acknowledged that there's just human roadblocks to the protection of the Fusa. I mean, bushmeat hunting is very common, and bushmeat is disproportionately consumed by poor populations, which indicates that consumption of Fusa is likely done out of necessity. Furthermore, conflict with livestock can't be overlooked, as retaliatory killings are a problem for many carnivores worldwide, wherever they're near humans. When you look at these, it's likely that poverty and poor living conditions have worsened human-Fusa relationships. And it might just be the case that to improve management and conservation of Fusa, in addition to, you know, education and awareness, we also just need to actually improve the political stability in Madagascar.